If you'd like to turn to Proverbs 4, that's where the bulk of our lesson is going to be based. We will cover a few other scriptures, but it's going to be taken mostly out of Proverbs 4. This was written by Solomon and to his children, but it applies, even though these words are his to his children, they apply to us from God's word. And we can learn from them today, just like thousands of years ago when they were written. It starts off and it says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law." How many times do we as parents tell our kids something we know it's the right and the good and the to keep them on the right path? Many times they follow it, but many times they have learning experiences and they want to go out on their own and kind of like the prodigal son, test things themselves. But he's trying to save a lot of heartache. He's trying to get people to learn and bypass a lot of stumbling, a lot of error that they could avoid. Goes on to say, "When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live.'" It's not saying that you'll live forever, but when we obey God's words, when we obey God's commandments and his law that he has given us, our life here on earth is better. A lot of people in the world, a lot of non-Christians, have not a misunderstanding, but I guess their view of what God's word is, it's a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's just a bunch of rules and regulations. It sure cuts out a lot of fun for me. That's the way some people see God's word, his law, his commandments. And if we truly want to live while we're here, we would follow God's commandments. Of course, there are some things that we would have to do that maybe we don't want to do. Maybe there are some things that we can't continue doing. Kind of like our lesson this morning, you know, don't be conformed to this world. But these words, "Let your heart retain my words." Any of us that are old enough to hear and understand, I'm sure we can recall, however long ago it was, words of our parents, words of our father. And by the way, it is 4 minutes after six. I'll be the first one to say publicly, Tracy did it today, but only a few people heard it, Happy Father's Day. Dads get the short end of the stick again. No public announcement, you know. Happy Father's Day. We appreciate the hard work, the leadership, the guidance that you offer. And happy Father's Day. Solomon is saying, when my father told me things, I still remember them. That's the same with us. And he says, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Not just trivial knowledge. A lot of people have a lot of trivia up here. Just a lot of information. There's so much stuff rattling around up here. Useless information. Absolutely useless. I've never got to be on Jeopardy, so I've never been able to put any of it to use. It is useless. Solomon is saying, get wisdom, not just trivial facts in your head. I have seen Christians, preachers, that literally could rattle off entire books of the Bible from memory. Doesn't necessarily mean they understand what they're saying. Doesn't necessarily mean they live what they're quoting. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Don't just accumulate useless knowledge. Get understanding and wisdom. In fact, the book of Proverbs starts out with that concept in chapter 1. Proverbs 1, 1 through 7 says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. We talked about that a few weeks ago, about what a difference of just knowledge and being able to have discretion. When to do things, when is the appropriate time? That's discretion. A time and a place. As we'll see in the next book, Ecclesiastes, there's a time and a place for everything. A wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Solomon is saying here, the beginning of knowledge is that respectful, reverent fear of God. You can have all the worldly knowledge there is, but if you don't have that knowledge of the Lord, the fact that He is, isn't that the first steps toward being saved? Hearing the Word of God and believing it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But it says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Going back to chapter 4 in verse 8, it says, exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory she will deliver to you. This is described as an ornament on your head and a crown. Headwear, whether it be hats or helmets or whatever, they distinguish and they say an awful lot. We talk about we wear many hats. Hats and headgear say and give a lot of messages. Everything in football, from the style of face mask you have, almost is separated by position. You know, some of you wear hard hats at work. You wear hats that give description and rank. Well, wisdom and honor and the glory of God and the knowledge of God is what's going to be on our heads for those that take it and embrace it, that accept it, not just hear, but accept and receive it. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings. A big difference in hearing and receiving. A lot of people hear. I've been given a lot of great advice over the years. I haven't always taken it. Didn't mean the advice wasn't good. I didn't receive it. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. Verse 11, very important. Very important as a father, very important as a Christian, very important as a leader, as a person. I have taught you in the way of wisdom, and I have led you in right paths. Not only has the message been taught, not everybody teaches the message. The message has been taught, but not only that, I've led you in the right paths. As a father, or as a leader, as a boss, as a neighbor, as just a human being, we don't like hypocrites. I despise them. I know I am hypocritical at times, but I hate hypocrites. I don't want to be one. The people do as I say, not as I do. Here, any proper leader in anything, whether it be at work, that of a country, a military, whatever, not only have I taught you, but I have led you in those right paths. That's what an elder has to do. That, you know, my first thought when I read this was that's what elders do. They not only teach, but they lead a congregation in those right paths. In Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." In my household growing up, this could come true, because if you disobeyed my mom, she may end your life on earth. Obey and you'll live. If not, she'll take you out. "That it may be well with you and you may live long on earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." That is what we had just seen in this last. Not only have they taught, the way of wisdom, but they have led them in the right paths. In Proverbs 22, just a few chapters later in the same book, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I think of the parable of the prodigal son. When the son came, as it says, when he came to his senses, he knew where to return to. How many times does a Christian's faith, their obedience, their attendance wavers? They go through kind of periods where maybe they're stronger than others. But when they come to their senses, they know where that path is because they had been trained in it. They know where it is. And that is so important for them to know that. Teach them and lead them so that they will know. Back in chapter 4, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Did you ever, growing up, think, oh, I can handle something? Mom and dad warned you not to do, oh, I can handle it. And sure enough, you can't. Yeah. There was always the unknown factor that you didn't think of. And this is so important for us as Christians. The Christian walk should not be walking a tightrope. It should not be seeing how close we can get to the line without going over. That's not what being a Christian is. Got to give Coach Horace Smith his due. You can't walk in the gutter and not get dirty. Amen. You got to choose your friends carefully. Who you hang around with. Proverbs 12, a few chapters later in Proverbs, says the righteous should choose his friends carefully. For the way of the wicked leads them astray. You don't want weak friends to make you weak, to lead you astray. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says basically the same thing in 1 Corinthians 15:33. He says, do not be deceived. Don't be fooled. He says, evil company corrupts good habits. I don't care whether you're a kid in school, a kid playing with other kids in the neighborhood, or whether you're a full-grown adult. Who we choose to surround ourselves by. Now, of course, we've got to get out into the world. You can't insulate yourself 24/7 and never venture out and be around a non-Christian. For one, how are you going to teach anybody if you're never around non-Christians? But Paul says, do not be deceived. A lot of people think they can handle it. Evil company corrupts good habits. Back in Proverbs 4. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. the day's not complete unless they've done evil. Verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. They're stumbling through life, and their eyes are covered so bad, they don't even know what's making them stumble through life. Have you ever, I've known a few people that their life is one calamity after another. They live their life in a way of, they're the poster child of bad decisions, of bad influences, of doing the wrong thing, being in the wrong place at the wrong time. They just don't make good decisions. And they just don't understand, why is my life like this? They don't even know why they're stumbling. They don't know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Don't be like the other people. And put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Don't try to walk that tightrope of sin. Jesus sums this up in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Basically, anybody can go that way. And he says, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. It takes effort. It takes right decisions. It takes surrounding yourself with the right people. And it goes back to the knowledge and wisdom and discernment and understanding of God's word. That is chapter 4 of Proverbs. Such a good chapter. The invitation is open for anybody that needs it. If there is sin in your life, repent. Jesus says, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. If you need prayers of the congregation, Trisha asked for prayers this morning. I urge you to keep Trisha and her family in your prayers this week, in your individual prayers. She's having a rough time. This happens to be financial. Sounds like spiritually you're hanging in there pretty good because you want to do what God wants. Sometimes we need spiritual prayers. Sometimes we need physical prayers. Thank you for the prayers and all the help and so forth that you've offered with us, with Stacy, with her hip replacement the other day. She's doing great. Getting better every day. Sometimes people need financial help. Some people have physical problems, relationship problems. If you have need of prayers, whatever we can do to help you, please come forward. Let your needs be known as Daryl leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.